Paramiti. The name of the translator means supreme capacity in Sanskrit. His great capacity can be described by the following verse. When one is able to fully realize one's own nature and help others do the same, one joins ranks with heaven and earth. When one's mind parallels the sun and the moon, that is like the bright sunlight of spring. It can also be described as follows. His mind includes the great void. His capacity encompasses worlds as numerous as the sands of the Ganges River. He was therefore named Supreme Capacity. This Shramana was so intelligent and wise that he was able to find a way to take the Sharangama Sutra to China. At that time, it was forbidden for anyone to take the Sharangama Sutra out of India. During his first attempt to bring the sutra to China, he was detected by the customs officials, who prevented him from taking the sutra across the border. The next time, he copied out the entire sutra in very tiny characters onto the finest, thinnest silk. Then he cut open the fleshy part of his arm, inserted the sutra, and stitched up the wound. He then applied some medicinal ointment on his wound. In this manner, he managed to bring the sutra to China. The Sharangama Sutra has greatly benefited the people of China. In the past, many Buddhist patriarchs, left home people, and lay people became enlightened through reading and reciting the Sharangama Sutra. Many people benefited from this sutra. By translating the Sharangama Sutra, Master Paramiti rendered great help to people of the present and the future. Therefore, we should remember this Shramana's name as we study the Sharangama Sutra. This Shramana belongs to the first three of the four types of Shramanas. He was not of the last type. He arrived at the city of Guangzhou, Canton, during the Tang Dynasty, after Empress Wu Zetian had abdicated the throne, around AD 705. He began translating the sutra on the 23rd day of the fifth lunar month. The Sharangama Sutra is very powerful and useful. Those who study the Buddha Dharma should first learn to understand the principles of the Sharangama Sutra. In this time and age, we must protect and uphold this sutra and not allow it to disappear. If we weren't born into this time and age, we wouldn't have to shoulder this duty. However, as we are here now, we must do our best to protect and uphold this sutra. According to the Buddhist historical records, this sutra was originally stored in the Dragon Palace. The Bodhisattva Nagarjuna went to study the Tripitaka kept in the Dragon Palace. When he came across this sutra, he memorized it. That's how the sutra was brought to our world. The government of an Indian state considered it a precious treasure and prohibited it from being taken to other countries. However, since the Chinese people had immense affinities with Buddhism, Shramana Paramiti risked his life to deliver this sutra to China. Now that we are listening to the explanation of this sutra, we should make full prostrations to this Shramana, prostrating as many times as we wish. The great master Jirja bowed toward the west, the direction of India, to the name of this sutra for 18 years. Unfortunately, he did not get to see this sutra. We are much luckier than the great master Jirja, for without having to bow for so many years, we have already encountered this sutra. Now, wouldn't you agree that our causes and conditions are superior to that of Great Master Jirja? Sutra. The Dharma Prince, great strength, together with 52 bodhisattvas of similar rank, arose from their seats, bowed at the Buddha's feet, and said to the Buddha, Commentary. The Dharma Prince, great strength, is a bodhisattva with great might. He is also called the bodhisattva with a body of infinite blazing light. His brightness illuminates all the lands in the 10 directions. He is a Dharma Prince. The Buddha is the Dharma King. Kings rule countries. The Jade Emperor, the Heavenly King, rules the heavens, and the Buddha is the Dharma King. What about the Bodhisattvas? They are the Dharma King's disciples. Dharma Prince refers to a disciple of the Dharma King. As it is said, the Buddha is the Dharma King. He is free and at ease in the Dharma. Bodhisattvas study the Buddha Dharma and are therefore the Dharma King's disciples. Great Strength Bodhisattva is a disciple of the Buddha. Not only was he himself present, but 52 bodhisattvas of similar rank were together with him. Of similar rank means that they were of the same status as he. However, there are some degrees of difference among the ranks of bodhisattvas. There are 52 levels of bodhisattvahood. The 10 faiths, the 10 dwellings, the 10 practices, the 10 transferences, the 10 grounds, equal enlightenment, and wonderful enlightenment. The 52 bodhisattvas represent 52 stages of fruition. Within each stage, there are limitless and boundless numbers of bodhisattvas. After 23 categories of perfect penetration had been expounded, Great Strength Bodhisattva and 52 bodhisattvas of similar rank arose from their seats together. Every bodhisattva had his own seat. As they wished to express their opinions and speak of the perfect penetration they had attained, they arose from their seats. This signifies that the Dharma is not taught without a reason, but comes forth due to external circumstances. It is not spoken in vain, but is unveiled in response according to the conditions. The bodhisattvas arising from their seats symbolizes that the Buddha was ready to speak the Dharma, and the bodhisattvas were about to elucidate the perfect penetration, enlightenment, to which they had been certified. They then bowed at the Buddha's feet. When bowing, one prostrates in single-minded reverence with five parts of one's body: the head, two forearms and knees, touching the ground. This is the way to bow. As we bow, we should contemplate how the worshipper and the worshipped are empty and still by nature. The response from the interaction with the way is inconceivable. Although the nature of the worshipper and the worshipped is empty and still, an inconceivable state brought about by a response from your interaction with the way will manifest. We should apply this contemplation to whichever Buddha or Bodhisattva we are bowing to. Great Strength Bodhisattva and his Bodhisattva friends all bowed to Shakyamuni Buddha, performing the obeisance of receiving the feet. They prostrated at the Buddha's feet with the five parts of their bodies touching the ground. They touched their heads, the highest part of their bodies, to the ground, and extended their hands to hold the Buddha's feet, in this way demonstrating their utmost reverence, and said to the Buddha. They then spoke to the Buddha. These first few sentences of the sutra text were added by the compilers when the sutra was being compiled. Sutra. I remember when, as many kalpas ago, as there are sands in the Ganges River, a Buddha called Limitless Light appeared in the world. During that kalpa, there were 12 successive Tathagatas. Commentary. I remember when. Great Strength Bodhisattva said that he remembered a time kalpas ago when he first made his resolve for Bodhi. A Bodhisattva who has just made the resolve will not necessarily be able to fulfill it. The most important thing is to have no thought of retreat after one has first made one's vow. Then one will be able to realize Buddhahood. If you make the Bodhisattva resolve, but then retreat from it, you will not be able to realize Buddhahood. You will be able to realize Buddhahood only after you bring forth a Bodhi resolve again later in the future. As the verse says, fish row, amra flowers, and bodhisattvas of initial resolve. They abound in great number on the causal ground, yet only a handful will reach fruition. Fish lay many eggs, but it's not certain that every fish egg will develop to be a fish. What about the amra fruit? The amra tree has plenty of blossoms, yet not all of them will bear fruit. Bodhisattvas of initial resolve are the same way. Of the great many of those who make the resolve for Bodhi, few truly attain the fruition of Bodhisattvahood in the end. Since Great Strength Bodhisattva didn't retreat from his Bodhi resolve, he was able to remember the events of the past. As many kalpas ago as there are sands in the Ganges River. The Ganges River in India runs near Shravasti, where the Buddha preached the Dharma. As everyone knew this river, the Buddha often used the expression, the number of sands in the Ganges River, to refer to a large quantity. Great Strength Bodhisattva also used this term to describe a long period of time. The word kalpa is Sanskrit and means a long span of time. It represents the longest period of time. A Buddha called Limitless Light appeared in the world. At that time, the Buddha Limitless Light was born into the world, followed by 12 other Tathagatas. Boundless Light, Unobstructed Light, Unsurpassed Light, and others. During that kalpa, there were 12 successive Tathagatas. The 12 Tathagatas appeared in succession through the long span of time designated as a great kalpa. The Not Old Monk. As we still have some time left, let me tell you about my visit today to Daxian, Great Immortal, Temple to see a not old monk. He is a youthful monk. Who is this monk? He is the venerable, not old, Kai Chan. Why do I call him not old monk? I see that he likes to busy himself with manual labor. Even though he is over 80 years old, he is still in great health. His arms are not at all scrawny. They are muscular and look very strong. Based on my impression of this elder monk's appearance, I nicknamed him Not Old Monk. I hope he will never grow old. This Not Old Monk is very humorous and replete with great wisdom and boundless eloquence. He is given to witty epigrams and delights in leading others to instantaneous awakening through his aphorisms. Let me tell you what he said. Water makes no sound streaming along level ground. Noisily it resonates when encountering the highs and lows of the land. Without uttering a word, the Great Way pervades the Dharma realm. Out of greed, hatred, and stupidity, contention arises. Someone hastily copied the verse down as the Venerable Kaichan spoke. "This isn't your verse. I've known it for a long time. You must have learned it from me. Let me recite it for you," I said to him. I then recited the verse. He looked very surprised and exclaimed, "Ah, so you already knew it." "Of course I've known it for a long time. Otherwise, how could I have memorized it right after you just said it once?" Afterwards, we talked at length. When I was ready to leave, I sat in his chair and then on his bed for a moment. "I'm not leaving," I said. "You'd better get out of here right now. You can't live here anymore." "Okay, I'll just stay outside," he said. "I won't let you stay outside either." He was so much fun to be with that I tried to leave, and yet 3 times I still kept coming back. "I like your thatched hut. It's out of this world." "Not only is it out of this world, there's nothing like it in the heavens. I have to have it today." "You'd better hurry up and leave." I tried to throw him out, but he wouldn't leave. Finally, I left. I told him, "The next time I come back, I'm going to set your little hut on fire. Then we'll see where you're going to live." We had a little fight today, but I wasn't able to throw Not Old Monk out. I wanted him to move all the way to America. I urged him, "Hurry up and go to America. Don't stay here." That was a brief account of our encounter today. I wanted to share it with you. Sutra. The last of whom was called Light Surpassing the Sun and Moon Buddha. Those Buddhas taught me the Buddha recitation samadhi like this. Suppose there are 2 people, one of whom always remembers the other, while the other has entirely forgotten about the first one. Even if these 2 people were to meet or see each other, it would be the same as not meeting or seeing each other. On the other hand, if 2 people develop intense memories for one another, then in life after life they will be together like an object and its shadow, and they will never be separated. Commentary. The last of whom was called Light Surpassing the Sun and the Moon Buddha. Great Strength Bodhisattva encountered 12 Tathagatas. Their names were Limitless Light, Boundless Light, Unobscured Light, Unequaled Light, King of Blazing Light, Pure Light, Joyful Light, Wisdom Light, Inconceivable Light, Endless Light, Unsurpassed Light, and Light Surpassing the Sun and the Moon. The first of these 12 Tathagatas was Limitless Light. Amitabha Buddha is also called Limitless Light Buddha. As these 12 Tathagatas appeared successively in 1 kalpa, Limitless Light Buddha must have been an ancient Amitabha Buddha. There was an ancient Shakyamuni Buddha, and there is a Shakyamuni Buddha of our time. This Limitless Light Buddha is probably the Amitabha Buddha of the past. The most recent Buddha was called Light Surpassing the Sun and the Moon, and his brightness exceeded the light of 100,000 suns and moons. Those Buddhas taught me the Buddha recitation samadhi like this. I began cultivating the practice of Buddha recitation on the causal ground from the time of Limitless Light Buddha through the time of Light Surpassing the Sun and the Moon Buddha. Those 12 Buddhas taught me the Buddha recitation Samadhi. Since great strength Bodhisattva wanted to practice reciting the Buddha's name, he spent an entire kalpa developing the Buddha recitation Samadhi. Samadhi is a Sanskrit word that means proper concentration and proper reception. How does one cultivate the method of Buddha recitation? By way of analogy, suppose there are two people, one of whom always remembers the other, while the other has entirely forgotten about the first one. Let's suppose there are two people, call them person A and person B, who may be friends, or father and son, or have some other kind of relationship. Person A always thinks of person B, but person B keeps forgetting about person A. Even if these two people were to meet or see each other, it would be the same as not meeting or seeing each other. Person A has an excellent memory, while person B is very forgetful. Even if they were to meet, it would be the same as not meeting. Person A would remember person B if they were to encounter each other, but it's very unlikely that they would get together to meet at all. On the other hand, person B would not remember person A, even if they did meet. Even though person A might be his father, son, or some other relative, person B wouldn't recognize him. Thus, their meeting would be futile because only one person would remember, just as one cannot expect to make a clapping sound by slapping space with one hand, unless the causal links were to connect. It would be as if they didn't see each other even if they met. On the other hand, if two people develop intense memories for one another, suppose two people think of each other with great intensity. This is analogous to the Buddhas thinking of living beings and living beings thinking of the Buddhas. In the previous situation, the person who remembers is like the Buddhas, who always think of living beings. The person who forgets represents living beings who do not think of the Buddha. Although the Buddha thinks of living beings never think of the Buddha. They are not operating on the same wavelength. Thus, their lights cannot unite, and there can be no response. On the other hand, the two people thinking of each other with deep sincerity is like the Buddhas remembering living beings and living beings remembering the Buddhas. Then from one life to the next, perhaps for many lives or even through several great kalpas, these two people will not leave each other. They will be together like an object and its shadow. The state of recollection of these two people is like our bodies and their shadows, which cannot be separated from each other. In the same way, the two people cannot forsake each other. And they will never be separated. They will always see each other. Sutra. The Tathagatas of the Ten Directions are tenderly mindful of living beings, just as a mother remembers her son. But if the son runs away, of what use is the mother's concern? Commentary. The Tathagatas of the Ten Directions are tenderly mindful of living beings, just as a mother remembers her son. The four cardinal directions, east, west, south, and north, plus the four intermediate directions, southeast, southwest, northeast, and northwest, make eight directions, to which we add the zenith and the nadir to make 10 directions in all. There are Buddhas in worlds throughout the 10 directions, and they are constantly mindful of all living beings in the same way that a mother thinks of her son. This kind of mindfulness is completely sincere and stems from the deepest natural feelings. But if the son runs away, of what use is the mother's concern? The mother thinks about her son, but he doesn't think of her. He has run off to play. No matter how much she thinks of him, he does not return. Sutra. However, if the son remembers his mother in the same way that the mother remembers her son, then in life after life, mother and son will never be far apart. Commentary. However, if the son remembers his mother in the same way that the mother remembers her son, if the son thinks about his mother the same way she thinks about him, that is with the deepest sentiment. Then, in life after life, mother and son will never be far apart. They will not be separated. There's no way that they won't see each other. This passage says that if we are as sincerely mindful of the Buddhas as the Buddhas are mindful of us, the Buddhas will certainly receive and guide us. It's a pity that although the Buddhas remember us, we do not remember the Buddhas. This is like the case of the mother and son. Since the son does not think of his mother, it won't be easy for them to meet. If the son was mindful of his mother the way his mother is mindful of him, they would never be far apart because the son would not disobey his parents and run away. If we are mindful of the Buddhas, we will quickly return to the pure land of eternal still light where the Buddhas reside. Sutra. If living beings remember the Buddha and are mindful of the Buddha, they will certainly see the Buddha now and in the future. Being close to the Buddha, even without the aid of expedients, they will awaken by themselves. Commentary. If indicates that this is a hypothetical situation. Living beings includes you, me, and others. It also takes into account living beings of the past, present, and future. So do not assume that this sentence of the sutra refers to other living beings. You should acknowledge right away that it refers to you. It is talking about me, this good-for-nothing living being, this living being who hasn't done anything worthwhile, this living being who does not know how to repay the Buddha's kindness, this living being who has forgotten about the Buddha. If you consider yourself in this way, you will feel great shame and remorse. You should think, the Buddha, in his sincere compassion, has come to teach and transform me, but I turn a deaf ear to him. I plug up my ears and pay no attention to his guidance. In my mind, the Buddha does not exist, not even the word Buddha exists. All of you think for a moment. Buddhism is flourishing in Taiwan, so everyone here knows about the Buddhas and knows how to worship. But how many people in the rest of the world have heard of the Buddhas? How many people don't revere them? Even though many people do know about the Buddha, and quite a few know about revering them, we must realize that there are all sorts of worship. There is Buddhist worship, and there are various forms of worship practiced by non-Buddhist religions and cults. At present, we do not understand the practice of Buddha recitation, and sometimes we may even tell others not to recite the Buddha's name, or not to believe in the Buddha. How confused that is. To recite the Buddha's name even once is not easy. Not everyone knows how to recite the Buddha's name. If you have karmic obstacles, even if you wanted to recite, you wouldn't be able to say the name out loud. Have any of you seen the Chinese opera called The Crazy Monk Pesters Ching Kuei? It is about Earth Store Bodhisattva who wished to help Ching Kuei, the Prime Minister of the Southern Song Dynasty, A.D. 1127 to 1276, who had been very filial to his parents in past lives. Due to the merit he had earned by his filial behavior, he was blessed with wealth and honor in his present life. Being wealthy and honored, he forgot about his origins. He didn't realize that he should continue his past good roots to cultivate the beneficial fruits of the future. Since he had forgotten, he ended up committing a lot of offenses. Earth Store Bodhisattva, who had probably been his old friend in the past, felt that he ought to try to rescue him. Earth Store King Bodhisattva had great vow power, so he resolved to save Ching Kuei. How was he going to do it? He planned to write the word Buddha on his palm for Ching Kuei to see. Ching Kuei only had to recognize this word and pronounce it once, saying that it was the word Buddha, and all the offenses he had committed would be forgiven. He would not be punished for his past offenses because he had said the word Buddha. Earth Store Bodhisattva planned to use this expedient method to save Ching Kuei. But when Ching Kuei saw Earth Store Bodhisattva, he didn't bring forth respect. Because he was not respectful, Earth Store King Bodhisattva made use of his awesome spiritual power and, with a flick of his dust whisk, forced Ching Kuei to kneel down on the ground. Ching Kuei wanted to get up but could not. Then Earth Store Bodhisattva held out his hand and asked him, "Can you tell me what this word on my palm is?" Ching Kuei took one look and retorted, "I was the top scholar in the imperial examination, and now I am the prime minister. I know the languages of all the other kingdoms, the documents of which must pass under my eyes for review, not to mention that one word. Do you think I don't recognize that word? I know it. I just won't say it for you." Earth Store Bodhisattva, out of merciful compassion, had only asked Ching Kuei to read the word Buddha. He recognized the word but just wouldn't recite it aloud. In the end, his karmic obstacles were not wiped out, so he fell into the hells. This shows that reciting the Buddha's name is not easy. Trying to convince living beings that they must be mindful of the Buddha is not easy. That's why the sutra text says, "if," which suggests that perhaps living beings could remember the Buddha and think of the Buddha. If your mind thinks of the Buddha, your mouth will naturally recite the Buddha's name. Then you will certainly see the Buddha now and in the future. In remembering and thinking of the Buddha, you must be single-minded for it to be efficacious. If you are distracted, it won't work. If your mind is concentrated and you recite the Buddha's name with utmost sincerity, to the point that the flowing water is reciting the Buddha's name, and the blowing wind is reciting the Buddha's name, and all sounds are Amitabha Buddha, then that is what is meant by remember the Buddha and are mindful of the Buddha. They will certainly see the Buddha now and in the future. Now means in your present life. In the future means in lives to come. You will surely meet the Buddha, because the Buddha's vow is that if anyone is mindful of the Buddha will gather him in. Being close to the Buddha, even without the aid of expedients, they will awaken by themselves. Since you are not far from the Buddha, you don't have to make use of all sorts of expedient methods in order to practice mindfulness of the Buddha. Mindfulness of the Buddha is the quickest shortcut, the most convenient of all expedients. It's the most complete and immediate, the simplest and easiest method. You need not search for other expedient methods. Mindfulness of the Buddha is the most expedient, the best method of all. Their minds will awaken. Means you will suddenly understand. Your mind will suddenly become enlightened, and you will attain the Buddha recitation samadhi. Sutra. That is like a person who, once perfumed by incense, carries the fragrance on his body. That is called the adornment of fragrance and light. On the causal ground, I used mindfulness of the Buddha to be patient when there is no production of dharmas. Now, in this world, I gather in all those who are mindful of the Buddha, and I bring them back to the Pure Land. Commentary. That is like a person who, once perfumed by incense, carries the fragrance on his body. When a person gets near burning incense, his body becomes permeated with its fragrance. That is called the adornment of fragrance and light. Because of this fragrance, we call this state adornment of fragrance and light. On the causal ground, I use mindfulness of the Buddha to be patient when there is no production of dharmas. Great Strength Bodhisattva refers to himself as I, but this is an I without a self. Basically, a bodhisattva has no sense of self, but in speaking the Dharma for living beings, he spoke as if he had a self. When Great Strength Bodhisattva was cultivating in past lives, he made a resolve to be mindful of the Buddha and consequently attained patience when dharmas do not arise. Now, in this world, I gather in all those who are mindful of the Buddha, and I bring them back to the Pure Land. Now, in this Soha world, I gather in all those who are mindful of the Buddha. Anyone who recites the Buddha's name will get my help. If someone recites the Buddha's name, I will welcome him and guide him to rebirth in the land of ultimate bliss. I'm like a magnet, attracting those who recite my name to the land of ultimate bliss. They will be born in Amitabha Buddha's pure land of eternal still light. Sutra. The Buddha asked about perfect penetration. I would select none other than gathering in the six sense faculties through continuous pure mindfulness of the Buddha to obtain samadhi. That is the foremost method. Commentary. The Buddha asked about perfect penetration. Earlier in the Sharangama Sutra, the Buddha asked each disciple to describe the method by which he achieved perfect penetration. After 25 sages had spoken, the Buddha asked all his disciples which method of practice they consider to be the most complete, perfect, and best suited to their faculties. I would select none other than. Now, Great Strength Bodhisattva says, I have no way to look at every single method, but I personally feel that mindfulness of the Buddha is the foremost method for achieving perfect penetration. This method aims at gathering in the six sense faculties. If you can have one thought of Amitabha Buddha, then you can think of Amitabha Buddha in thought after thought. If you can recite the Buddha's name in order to seek rebirth in the Pure Land, then all your other random, scattered thoughts will come to an end. With single-minded recitation of the Buddha's name, you can control the six sense faculties until they are well-behaved and dare not rebel. The eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind will not be affected by states involving form, sounds, smells, tastes, touch, and dharmas. Due to your mindfulness of the Buddha, you can turn states around. You won't be diverted by any state. Simply by reciting Namo Amitabha Buddha, you can gather in your six sense faculties. The six faculties will listen to your instructions and not get attached to defiled states anymore. Gathering in the six faculties is a means of uniting and upholding. It contains all dharmas and upholds limitless meanings. Through continuous, pure mindfulness. Pure means being free of random, scattered thoughts. When you are mindful of the Buddha in one thought, then you are mindful of the Buddha in every thought. Mindfulness in every thought is equivalent to a single thought of mindfulness. If your one thought is not interrupted, then with that one thought, you will surely be born in the land of ultimate bliss. So, in continuous pure mindfulness, the continuity is very important. You cannot recite for a while and then stop. It has to be that you recite without reciting. Without reciting, you are still reciting. You should recite to the point that it becomes so natural that even if you wanted to stop, you wouldn't be able to. The recitation will carry on by itself, and you won't be able to halt it. You'll be as if drunk on reciting the Buddha's name. That's the only thing on your mind. You recite the Buddha's name continuously without a break, day after day, month after month, year after year, life after life. You never stop reciting. If you can resolve to do that, then you'll be able to achieve continuous pure mindfulness. To obtain samadhi. Samadhi is translated as equal upholding or equal regulating. It's a state in which concentration and wisdom are completely harmonized and non-dual. That is the foremost method. If you ask me to name the best method of practice, based on my personal experience in cultivation throughout limitless kalpas, then I'd ignore all the other methods and say that gathering in the six sense faculties through continuous pure mindfulness to obtain samadhi is number one. In general, great strength bodhisattva's method of attaining perfect penetration through the sense faculties is the best method for living beings of the ten directions. Why was it that, from among the 25 methods of attaining perfect penetration, Manjushri Bodhisattva selected Guanshuryin Bodhisattva's method of perfect penetration through the faculty of hearing instead? It's because living beings of the Saha world have a keen sense of hearing, which makes it easy for them to enter the way and develop skill in samadhi in that manner. Thus, Manjushri Bodhisattva chose Guanshuryin Bodhisattva's method of perfect penetration through the faculty of hearing as the best method for those of us in the Saha world.